All right. Well, welcome to the Viking Press Pass, episode 22. I'm Matthew Nickel, and joining me today from the men's basketball team, junior guard, Sean Kelly. So, Sean, thanks for kicking off the new year with me.
Yeah, thanks for having me, man. I've been looking forward to this for a little minute now. So now that we finally got a chance to meet, it's great.
Yeah, absolutely. I know it's been a little tough trying to fit in, you know, over the holiday break and the couple of games you guys had coming back. So it's been a few weeks in the making. So it's been good. Hey, no better way, man, than to kick off the first of the year. I know from my end and connecting with a Viking athlete. So, hey, let's discuss a little bit yesterday's game. You know, Vikings went up to Milwaukee. Played the 17th ranked Wisconsin Lutheran. Kind of what were the initial reactions, you know, to the game yesterday?
It was another great opportunity that we had to go up there versus a ranked opponent just to get battle tested. It was a great game. First half went back and forth. You know, second half kind of came out a little flat, and, you know, they kind of took advantage of that. So it was another great opportunity to go towards our goal that we're looking to get and kind of, you know, peak at the right time. We don't want to peak in December or January. We want to peak in February, March. So we didn't get the outcome that we wanted, but we got the experience that we needed. So,
well, I know, you know, looking at, you know, the halves were a little bit different. I mean, the first half, you guys went in with a 30-28 lead. You guys were shooting 43% to Lutherans, 33%. I know they were coming off like 10 days of not really doing anything. You know, it felt like a lot of missed opportunities kind of around the rim that, you know, where that lead could have been 12 points pretty quickly. But, you know, what was the message from the coaching staff kind of at halftime?
Just kind of got to finish plays, really. They got a lot of offensive rebounds. We wasn't executing our crash game as we wanted to as well on the other end. So just kind of finishing plays. We kind of just – I feel like we got kind of loose at the end of possessions and just waited for the ball to come, and they took advantage of that. And that's where a lot of their points came from. And with us knowing that, we just got to be a little better because it was a game plan coming in, stopping them on the offensive rebound. So,
yeah. Now in the second half, you know, it was, you kind of flip flopped that, right? I mean, the Vikings shot just 32%. Mm-hmm. It wasn't a lack of opportunities. You know, Vikings got more looks than Lutheran did, but, you know, it was really about kind of converting those buckets. But I think the other thing that stood out was, you know, it was really about turnovers. So 19 turnovers yesterday, that's the highest of the season for the Vikings. What do you think kind of drove that ball security?
Kind of just they had good ball pressure, and we kind of knew that as well. I feel like once the second half, once we, in a sense, kind of got punched in the face, we kind of try to get it all back in one possession, and that led to forced turnovers or unforced turnovers as well. So kind of just staying together more down the line in games like that and kind of just sticking to our plan and sticking to what makes us as a team. And I think we kind of went away from that when the game kind of didn't go our way. So,
yeah. Well, I think what's, you know, really interesting about the grit of this team is, you know, generally, if you don't see a lot of panic on the team when you do get behind, because, you know, you guys really closed a first half gap, you know, and took that lead into the halftime. So, you know, it certainly feels a little bit like, you know, you don't let the situation get too big or you're always out of the game. I mean, you know, as me and my wife were watching, it was really about that last final possession where I'm like, okay, you know, Vikings are going to come away with a loss here, but, you know, even in the last couple of minutes, it's like, you know, you were never too far out of being able to come back. Yeah. But you know, even some of the things, like, I know that inbound pass, you just went to make a cut and slipped and the ball went out of bounds. It's like, all right, footing. Did it seem like there was any footing issues on the court? Because it seemed like they had guys out there always kind of cleaning the court. Was the court ever feel a little bit slippery at all?
In my opinion, Not really, but it was just one of those games, 1 p.m., last day of the year, some people ready for the break. So, I mean, I really wouldn't say it was a footing issue or anything. Just some things you just don't got control over. Just like the play that you just said where Chase passes me the ball, kind of couldn't go grab it because it slipped a little bit. So, yeah, I really can't throw too much on that one.
Yeah. Well, hey, well,
Yeah.
let's switch gears a little bit. Because this is your first year at Augustana. So, how did you find your way to Augustana from Cleveland State?
So, I'm pretty much, I've always been in touch with Augustana. I'm from Rock Island, so I've always been around. I knew Coach Malik since my senior year of high school, so I've always kind of been in touch with him a little bit. And Augustana, they have a great coaching staff, and that's kind of what drove me towards them. I was in contact with them a little bit last year as well. Things kind of didn't play out, but really just the coaching staff, the culture that these guys are building over here, and it's back home as well. So everything just kind of played its part, which led me to come here.
So when did you move from Rock Island to Peoria?
My 6th grade year.
Okay. So do you still have a
Yeah.
lot of family then in the Rock Island area?
Yeah, all my family. I have a lot of family here on my dad's side. The rest of my family on my mom's side is up in Peoria. So I've always been kind of back and forth between the summer here. Then when school start back, I go back to Peoria. So I kind of bounce back. So I kind of got both sides of the ball when it comes to playing, got the experience here and there.
All right. Now, we were talking before we kicked this off. When we were originally trying to connect, I mean, it was in the midst of finals week. I wasn't trying to upset that, by any stretch, but how has it been balancing kind of the workload academically along with basketball? I mean, new school, new team, there's a lot of newness. How has that balance been so far in managing that?
Yeah, with me, it's been very different. Coming from JUCO, majority of people have online courses, so they do a lot of their classes online. They get the work done when they want to get the work done. And to be honest, half of the courses aren't really like challenging or even useful for you in the future as well. Coming to Augustana, they're kind of big on academics, so a lot of the things here were new, like such as the courses. The grading, a lot of stuff is different. It was a big eye opener, just with life, because I feel like they're kind of big on life after basketball, and I never kind of been introduced that. So coming here the first semester was good for me. It didn't go quite how I wanted it to go, but now that I know and learned a lot of things from the professors here. As well as coaches, either from basketball or not basketball, and just building kind of a family that Augustana kind of surrounds you with. It's been a great atmosphere and experiences and lessons that I've learned since I've been here.
No, that's good to hear. I remember my first year. I mean, I struggled to adjust, to balancing that. So, I can just imagine like going into your junior year, depending on kind of where you're academically from what will transfer, what won't transfer, and then,
Yeah,
kicking
exactly.
off, kind of a degree, having to get your mindset set around that, as well. That's a lot to kind of overcome and adjust to. That's a huge adjustment period. Now you've started the last 7 games for the Vikings, and but how has it been not only working your way into the starting lineup, but just gelling, I think, with the team so quickly? How's that transition been?
It's been great. Since I committed to come here, I already knew that nothing was going to be handed to me. So I've always been a kid of hard work, believing in my work. And I knew that eventually my work would pay off. I never really was like said I wanted to start or anything. I just knew just coming here, I have to do whatever to get me on the floor first off before even starting. So whether that's guarding the best player, 94 feet, diving on the ball, getting to the rim, getting kickouts, involving your teammates. I just kind of been a guy that just wanted to win. So stats, starting, that kind of never really played a part with me. I've always been a big part of just wanting to win. I'm probably the biggest sore loser on the team. I hate losing in anything, basketball, games. I'm just the biggest sore loser. I used to cry when I was little if I lost at anything. So I just wanted to win. I feel like Augustana had everything for me to come here and win, whether it was my personal development, skill development, on the court, off the court, whatever it was. I feel like just coming here was a big win for me in life.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, I mean, now you're leading, the CCIW in steals, 34 after the game last night. You have a high of 7 versus Bethel. You're averaging, 2 to 3, steals per game. What's your mindset on defense to, consistently create turnover opportunities?
When I was a kid, to be honest, my coach from middle school always told me, if you get a steal, you can do whatever on offense. So I just tried to get a steal and just go push it up the court. So that was kind of always been my mindset. But just seeing the best player on the team now always is kind of, it gives me a boost, just kind of coming in the game. When I was coming off the bench, I always just wanted to come in on defense, try to get a stop. And kind of, it gives me the confidence in myself. All right, I got to stop, I got to steal. Let's go ahead and build it off of the offense. Some people like to get a bucket first, and then that gets them going. I think steals and forcing turnovers, swiping at the ball, getting deflection gets me going.
Now, growing up, was there a player that, you ever tried to mirror like your defensive game after?
Right now, it's always been Jrue Holiday. Just how he moves. I've been watching a lot how he like. Guards up, how he backpedals. He doesn't really reach as much. I had a bad problem, like with reaching. I used to just always try to get steals, instead of just staying in front of him, turning him multiple times, and then eventually he'd give it up. So, kind of just watching Jrue Holiday and mirroring how he defends and sits down, 94 feet, how he kind of predicts and tracks the ball with his hands and his eyes. So, I think Jrue Holiday always been my favorite person to watch on defense.
I mean, I love and just generally appreciate, the pressure you put on players, up and down the court. I think a little bit about that steal versus Bethel where you had the missed dunk, but then you came down and immediately forced another turnover and went down and scored. And then I know shortly after that, Coach Delp called a timeout. And I think about after a missed dunk, like what specifically on that play, like kind of what went immediately through your mind when you missed that dunk? What did your mind process after that?
To be honest, I thought I made the dunk. And then once I was getting off the rim, I saw it pop out. So I'm like, ah, man. So my initial thought every time I make a mistake is I gotta get it back on defense. And it's just so he happens to run up the court, not really knowing exactly where I'm at. And instead of just buddy running and finding a man, I kind of ran towards the ball and got another pick at it. And the second time I wasn't going to miss again, so I just went up for the layup the second time.
Yeah, it was it's funny, my son was there with me and I used that play as an opportunity around like effort, making up for your own mistakes, I know the Vikings kind of play like little games within game, within the bigger game, where it's like, hey, if you, if you make a mistake, like you always have the opportunity, to go and right size it. I'm like, that was such a great example, that I could actually talk to my son about after the game. That was pretty cool. Now, the Vikings have been way more aggressive on defense, pressuring the entire court early on and often. Do you feel like the Vikings defensive scheme kind of plays into your strengths as a player?
Definitely 100%. I feel like also defense is contagious as well. I think when you used to see one person just go out there, guard full court, it just gives you the energy and the effort as well to just go out there and guard as well. Because if I see, say, Evan, if I see him going up guard 94 feet, and he's turning him. Oh, I'm gonna do the same thing. I'm not gonna just let him waste all his energy just for his man to pass it up and get up the court. So I feel like in practice as well, we go at each other a lot. We compete a lot, which transfers to the game. I feel like our practices are a lot harder. Credit to the gold team. Sometimes they just be killing us during practice. So I feel like with us having to go out there and just guard each other as well in the games, it just makes it 10 times more easier to guard opponents.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Well, I wanna switch a little bit to and talk a little bit about leadership, because there was a nice article in the Journal Star, I believe it was your junior year, that you know mentioned your high school coach, and he talks a bit about your leadership. And here's kind of the quote. He said, you know, he's took a focus on growing in that area. This was your coach Ruffin. And I think he's doing a great job of being that leader and being the vocal leader, especially when some things aren't going right, and he's that coach on the floor. So thinking about the last couple of years, how do you feel like you've continued to grow as a leader on the court and maybe your leadership style?
Yeah, I think for the most part growing up, I've been like a quiet kid. I've been more of like not a vocal leader, but leading by example. And as I've gotten older, kind of learned that as a point guard, you kind of have to lead with your voice as well. My freshman year of college, I played behind a Division I guard. His name is Michael Stevenson at Grambling. He was probably the biggest vocal leader that I ever saw or been a part of. He just kind of taught me the ropes, whether it was offense, defense, or things going wrong, things going bad, and just kind of keeping your team together and never letting any person or any sort of problem during a game stray the team away from the ultimate goal of winning. So I kind of just trying to throw my pieces in here and there. I feel like everybody on the team is a big leader. So with us just coming together and Coach Delp also letting us be leaders of the team, I feel like it just gel us together more. And when games get tight or when games not going as well as we want them to, just us being the leaders that we are to come together, I feel like it's gonna do us great at the end in February or March. So with me learning from guys like Ev, Chase, Matt, a lot of the leaders, a lot of our seniors, they kind of just teaching me to just learn the game mentally, because it's more than just playing it. So with me, it's always been the mental side of the game, and I think I've kind of been learning that more and more as my career been going.
Is playing point guard at Augie, you know, what are maybe some differences that you're seeing in either how it operates or the fundamentals of playing point guard for the Vikings as opposed to kind of years past? Are you noticing any major differences?
I wouldn't say major differences, but kind of just slowing the game down. I feel like sometimes I get a little too sped up and just kind of just slowing down, not really getting too ahead of myself. Sometimes I just get too sped up. Sometimes I get too passive when the play is not open and it causes turnovers. Or sometimes I get too aggressive at the rim and probably could have settled spin and made the extra pass. So I just say slowing down and understanding the game a little bit more. I feel like I've been taught from Coach Delp, Malik, Kyle, and the other great players that's been before me.
Absolutely. Now, I want to shift a little bit to your career because, you know, you spent your freshman year at Milwaukee Area Tech and then last year at Cleveland State. And at Milwaukee, you know, that's when you won the Division II National Championship. What was that experience, you know, just generally like?
It was a great experience. Just winning at the like one of the highest levels of basketball, it's always going to be a great experience. It's history that can't be unwritten. So now that I got a piece of winning something at the highest level, it's just always something I want to accomplish again. When you get there and when you accomplish it, you don't really look back at the stats. You don't look back at your best game of the year. You just kind of look back at the memories that you created with your teammates and your coaches. So that's just always something that I want to create again, and I look to create again while I'm here at Augustana.
Yeah. Now in high school, you know, one of the games that kind of stood out to me a little bit, I kind of pulled this from the Journal Star as well. You scored 18 points to lead the Lions to an upset over the was then ranked number four Notre Dame. You know, you made 9 of 10 in that game. It was the first loss, I think, for Notre Dame for like 2 years. You know, what are some of the big games maybe from high school you kind of, you know, stick out to you so far?
To be honest, that's kind of my biggest one, because Notre Dame was a team that always beat me in high school. So now that I got the chance to get my revenge on them at when they were one of the highest ranked teams in Illinois, they haven't lost a game in 2 years. I feel like that was the best one for me. I did good personally with that game. We were coming off, I think we were coming off a good win streak, I think. So just that game, just winning and beating them, it was kind of always on my bucket list, and I never got to them, and I think I got them at the right time.
Yep. Sometimes you just got to peak at the right time, right? At every level. Yeah. Now, what is your kind of game day preparation, you know, look like?
With me, I kind of try to get in early in the morning, try to get some shots up, get touch around the rim, ball handling. Then I kind of just go back, get my body right, ice, stretch before. Then I kind of just isolate myself a little bit, try to get my mind right, listen to music. I usually take a nap, but I haven't been taking a nap recently. So kind of just listen to music and kind of just isolate myself. I kind of really don't do too much. I really don't like eating before a game. It's kind of just straight mentally focused. If I fall asleep, if I do take a nap, kind of wake up, kind of listen to some hype music, kind of a little bit. But if I don't and I'm kind of a little too hype, I'll listen to something that like cool me down a little bit, like R&B or just like a slower type of music or something like that. But I really don't got too much of a game day ritual. Kind of just go about it and isolate myself for the most part.
You know, there's been a few times, you know, a couple of the players I've interviewed have talked about sometimes they take a nap. And I remember my junior or senior year, the Vikings went down and played, Southern Illinois. So the Salukis, and I remember Coach Giovanni, you know, said nobody take a nap before the game. You know, so like that's always like stuck in my mind, like never take a nap before a game, you know, because Coach Giovanni said it like 20 years ago. But I think it's so, you know, it had something to do with like blood pressure and bringing it down too much. But that's always just stuck in my mind. Such a long time.
I kind of got away from it in high school. I used to take naps a lot. And when I wake up, I kind of feel like a little sluggish a little bit. So I kind of try to stay away from it as much as I can and kind of just stay going a little bit. I don't want to bring myself down with the nap, even though it's good for recovery. But I kind of just want to stay up and just keep going at the rhythm that I've been in the rest of the day that's already been started. So, yeah.
So you mentioned music. You know, if you're trying to get yourself kind of amped up for the game, I mean, what's on that playlist?
Right now, it'll be like probably G Herbo, who I probably listen to the most. It's this artist called Lucky that I listen to a lot. Who else? Artist called Baby Smooth that I listen to. Them probably like top three that I kind of listen to if I want to get kind of amped up a little bit.
Now, what about R&B?
R&B, probably Jhené Aiko. I probably listen to her the most out of anybody. So if I want to kind of just get settled down, I probably listen to her.
Okay. Now, is there anything, you know, you like to eat, you know, in particular, like during game days, or do you, like, I'm a big, like, I drink water. I don't like to eat very much, you know, back then. What about yourself?
To be honest, I don't really like eating before the games, but since I've been here at Augie, they usually have like Rice Krispie treats in the locker room before the game. So I kind of just eat them. But like they had it last game, but the game before that, like the past three games, they didn't really have them. And I kind of been off a little bit. So I got to stay up on them about that. So right now it's just Rice Krispie treats. I think they kind of built it that ritual for me.
Well, you know, it's funny. My so I coach my son's wrestling club teams, and so one of the things I did with my youngest is before he goes out to a match, he gets a Starburst. And it's just like a positive mental like you know thing. And actually, my buddy kind of turned me on to it. And it just kind of gets them in a good mood, gets a little quick, maybe sugar punch, you know, for, you know, the 3 minutes he's going to be out there. So, so I like, you know, when you said Rice Krispie treats. So
yeah, they kind of built that into me. Like, I kind of need it now. Like before the game, they have them at halftime. I eat them at halftime. I think that's kind of been my ritual now, just the Rice Krispie treat.
So there's a little bit of a habit there. I like it. Yeah. Now, what are some of the things you like to do, you know, that's not basketball related? So when you're away from class, away from basketball, you know, what is it that you like to do?
To be honest, I don't do much. I probably just play the game a little bit, watch a movie, watch TV shows. I've never been a guy that goes out and hang out, kind of more, like I said, isolated. I kind of always been to myself. So really just playing the game and just chilling. I want to get into, like, fishing. I always wanted to learn how to fish. I went fishing when I was a kid with my grandpa and my dad, but I haven't been into it lately. So maybe I can build that into a hobby that I like to do, probably. Maybe in the summertime or something.
All right. Well, I might have to hit you up then, because I fish a ton. So have a boat. I mean, yeah, we can go do some damage, because bass fish, or there's catfish, and there's bank line. There's all kinds of good fun stuff. So there's been a few that have talked about going out and fishing. I'm like, God, I need to take a few folks out and just kind of hang out. So I'll have to look to do that this summer.
Get into it. I heard it's like peaceful, like calm, and that's kind of the person that I am. So I think that'll kind of play into my favorite hobbies that I like.
Man, it's super peaceful, because like I'll go out and I love fishing alone. I mean, I take my boys and my family out quite a bit, but yeah, I just like just kind of trolling the bank line, you know, trolling the banks. I don't really talk a whole lot. It's just kind of a nice way to zone out, especially early in the morning, you know. It's just so peaceful. It's great to get up and just kind of get your it's a good mental release.
Yeah, is that like the best time in the morning to go fishing?
Depends on what you're trying to do. Like, depends what the bite is and the water temperature. And, you know, I've found like, you know, if I'm trolling for walleye, it's actually better to do it as the sun is setting, more at night. Mm-hmm. You know, that's when I have the best luck. Or if I'm going after like wipers, which are like white striped bass, up near Iowa City and Coralville area. You know, the nighttime is the best time, because you control, hang back, just let your line go out about 200 feet and just kind of troll along and wait for it to hit. Depends a little bit.
Definitely have to hit you up on that, because that's definitely something that I want to get into.
Absolutely. Well, open invite, man. Open invite. So, now, growing up, who were some of the most kind of influential people like in your life?
To be honest, my mom and my older brother. My mom always been a lady of hard work, so she always displayed like what it takes to get what you want in life. So she always kind of, whether she knows it or not, just kind of showed me to show up early and stay late, really not complain about the things that you have to do to get what you want. So I say her and my brother just kind of always been like a person that showed, just showed how to be a great person and not really be a follower, and how to be a leader and just kind of do the things that you love to do in life without caring about anybody's thoughts and perspectives about you. So I say them two kind of been the most influential people in my life.
I love it. Now I see you're a kinesiology major. What made you
well,
kind of choose?
I'm not.
Oh, you changed that? Okay. So
yeah,
what?
I'm not yeah.
What?
No what?
What? What's your program track now that you're going to be focusing on?
MJMC. Multimedia journalism, mass communications.
Okay. What are you thinking about that?
It's kind of just fitting me a little bit more. I haven't really dived too much into it with the plan that I wanted to go into, but I think the journalism and communications kind of something that I always wanted to get into, and I feel like it'll lead to a life after basketball with still being in the path of sports. So I kind of just wanted to stay on that side. So that's what I kind of choose it for.
I was a communications major back when a speech comm prior to, you know, the media, you know, communication, journalism, you know, to the degree that they have now. And, Trevor Jassar, our sports information director, you know, he would be a great person to connect with. And, I know they're always looking for, students to help out at other events. If you ever want to get into like calling games, I do baseball. I need a second person for football. We're always looking for people to help out. So, you know, by all means, that's kind of a easy opportunity, to jump into as well.
Yeah, definitely. So I'll probably be hitting you up about that as well, because I just love sports. So just being around them any way that I can, it's great for me, because I just love watching it, learning new sports. So I always just wanted to stay around after basketball.
Yeah, man, it's so much. I mean, it's the reason why I started this podcast. So, we'll love it, man. Well, hey, it's the new year. People have resolutions, goals, aspirations. You know, when you look ahead to 2025, what goals or maybe milestones, you know, have you kind of set for yourself, you know, if you have?
I didn't look too deep into it, but kind of just, kind of just being more in tune with myself, kind of just understanding myself a little bit more, taking more time to myself. I feel like I kind of always just been basketball, 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 not really knowing how I've been personally. So kind of just stepping back a little bit and just getting myself right internally, which I feel like it'll make me a better basketball player at the end. So like finding new hobbies or like hanging out with my teammates more, just little stuff like that to kind of make your mental better. And I feel like it'll make you better on the court as well, and not just taking everything on by yourself and kind of using the tools that you got here with the coaches, teammates, professors, and things like that.
Yeah. Well, it's, it's funny when I was writing that, I'm like, man, I need to think about something for myself this year that I really want to accomplish. So, but yeah, I mean, I agree, man. I think the more you know about yourself, the more confident you are and, you know, who you are on and off the court, and obviously the better decisions you constantly make in life. So, it's always a good thing to work on regardless of a goal or aspiration, you know?
Yeah, definitely. I feel like some people nowadays in sports, they let their sport use them instead of them using the sport to get to what they want to go in the future. So I feel like just changing that and flipping it and using basketball and not letting it use me, better me in the end. So I feel like that's kind of been my biggest goal.
Absolutely. Well, Sean, thank you again, for taking some time, to speak with me, this morning. I know, it's been a few weeks here in the making, but it's been a ton of fun to connect with you. So again, appreciate you coming on this morning.
Yeah, man. Thanks for having me. It's been a great time. I've always been looking forward to do this. So very grateful for it.
Absolutely. Well, hey, we'll talk to you here soon.
Yeah. Thank you.